Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 1st, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
One announcement before we get started. Al Bingham's brother Jim passed away today, and I would encourage all of you to remember the Bingham clan in your prayers. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we are learning about our enemy. You have to know your enemy, and you have an enemy. God has an enemy. And it started long before we were here. It started long before the universe was created. Before the universe was created, all the B'nai HaElohim were created. The angels. The angels were created before the universe. And you might say, how do you know that? Just keep coming on Wednesday. The Bible says that the angels watched Jesus Christ create the universe. The only way they could watch him create the universe, they had to be here before he created it. That's a deep point. You have to know your enemy. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan, robbed of our spiritual life, becoming casualties in his cosmic system. For we know his strategies quite well. We have an enemy. The enemy is a fallen angel. He was originally the highest ranking of all the angels that were created from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels were created before anything else. And Lucifer, the Son of the Dawn was the guardian cherub guarding the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fell through arrogance. When he fell through arrogance, he took on another name. Not Lucifer, the son of the dawn, but Satan, which means adversary or enemy. He is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of every believer in Jesus Christ. He's your enemy. He's not a visible enemy, he's an invisible enemy. And he never goes to bed. He is functioning 24/7. He is an absolute genius. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He has a poop sheet on each one of you. He knows all your strengths. He knows all your weaknesses. He knows where to attack you. Now you have something given to you by the grace and power of God. It's called the armor of God, to protect you from the strategies of the devil. But you have to put the armor on. We got a lot of naked Christians out here. No armor of God on in their soul. And as a result, those Christians are casualties. They won't lose their salvation. They'll be in heaven. They'll have eternal security. You can't lose your salvation. But they are casualties in the angelic conflict. They will lose out on all greater grace blessing for time. They will lose out on all greater grace blessing for eternity. They will be able to go to the museum in eternity and take a look at all the greater grace blessings God had designed for them with their name on it and see what they missed. You get a chance to do that. But why would you want to do that when you can enjoy them while you're here? All you have to do is make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and hope too will become a reality in your soul. Greater grace blessings in time, and hope three, greater grace blessing for all eternity that will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. But you have an enemy. He is an absolute genius, and he knows all about you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where to attack. Satan has many strategies to keep the believer in his cosmic system, the cosmos. Mental attitude, sins, and sins of the tongue toward fellow believers is keeping many believers in Corinth entrapped in his cosmic system. You see, they just cannot forgive and forget the failures of the incestuous believer who has recovered from his reversionism and degeneracy. They have no grace orientation. They have no virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. And that keeps them entrapped in Satan's cosmic system. No impersonal love for all means no forgiveness. No forgiveness means continued mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Entrapment in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Satan has many strategies. And satanic strategy is first of all made up of deception and lies. Satan is the greatest deceiver of history. Satan is the greatest and most effective liar in history. John 8:44. And the MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is also deception and lies. They worship and serve the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to lie and deceive, just like his mentor. Satan works through human beings who are liars. Believers are deceived just as easily as unbelievers by the satanic strategy if you don't have the armor of God on in your heart. Satanic strategy has certain principles of activity and power. But Satan can use none of this power apart from the sovereign will of God. But God does permit Satan to test winner believers, such as Job, the greatest believer on the earth. Job 1:6-12, Job 2:1-10. To test winner believers like Paul, the thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:7. And God also permits Satan to punish loser believers. The incestuous Corinthian, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Satan has a strategy to control nations, and he's sure doing a great job in America. His strategy is based on conspiracy and deception and lies. I was in with my cardiologist. I have a cardiologist. I've had one for quite some time. And he always wants to know, Pastor Olson, what do you think about what's going on? I said, well, we're in deep doo-doo. And I said, the election's coming up. That doesn't mean a damn thing. I said, you see, you have to understand, there are people that believe the end justifies the means. The communists operate by that method, and therefore they can murder millions of people, and it's okay to slaughter millions of people because the end justifies the means. I said, that's the Democratic Party. That's the socialists. The end justifies the means. You can lie, you can cheat, you can deceive, you can do whatever. It doesn't make any difference. You don't have to have any honor. You can cheat. The main thing is the end justifies the means. All we have to do is win. There will be, and I told them, there will be no fair election again in America. There will never be another fair election in America unless there is a major increase in the pivot of mature believers. I said, you remember the fellow from Nevada, Harry Reid? He lied about the Republican candidates, total lies. And after the Democrats won, he was interviewed on TV by a news person who said, you know, all those things you said were lies about the Republican candidate. He goes, he smiled and goes, yeah, but we won. The end justifies me. Then they named the damn airport for him. I have to go to, I'm not going to Harry Reid Airport, I'm going to McCarran. Screw Harry Reid and the Harry Reid Airport. That's the same way in California. They used to have John Wayne Airport. Now John Wayne's a bad guy. If you're in California, John Wayne's a bad guy. So they renamed the airport. Bull Pucky. It'll always be John Wayne Airport. Now, if they take away John Wayne and then they add Harry Reid, I said, Doc, the only way that this wonderful nation and Constitution can operate, you have to have honor and virtue, integrity. When there's no honor and virtue and integrity in our nation, the Constitution will fail. He said before I said it, he goes, you know, he says it's faith, family, Constitution. I said, that's right, Doc. But that Constitution, as great as it is, only works if there's honor and virtue and integrity. And the people in power right now have no honor, no virtue, no integrity. The end justifies the means. And that's why they're going to keep pushing this COVID deal, no matter what's another variant or this or that, or now it's the monkeypox or something else that's going to come along, because they want you to mail in your ballot. And then even though the Republicans are winning, it gets down to the last 24 hours, all of a sudden they shut everything down, kick all the viewers out, and all of a sudden they have boxes of mail-in ballots, all for the Democrats. Son of a gun. And they win. That, when you have that, why do you do that? And why do you have it where you don't have to show ID when you vote? I have to show ID for everything. Everywhere I go, I have to show ID. But no, the Democrats, you don't have to show ID. Driver's license. I have to show my first thing they say wherever I go. Let me see your ID, driver's license. I said, you think I'm old enough to drive? You ought to have to show ID to vote. And when you don't, when you make laws, you don't have to do that. The reason why is fraud. That's the only reason. Fraud. So I said, Doc, unless there is a spiritual awakening in the United States of America, there's never going to be another fair election. And he goes, Pastor Olson, he goes, I know, I'm with you. Because of COVID, he gives me a fist. We fist punch. I said, wouldn't it be great if we could do that with the socialists and the Democrats? No, we will love them with impersonal love for all. Satan has a strategy to control the nations. His strategy is based on conspiracy and deception and lies. We saw that in Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20 verse 3, Revelation 27 and 8, Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Satan manipulates nations. He's the author of every world peace movement and all the communism and socialism. Jeremiah 6:14, Jeremiah 8:11, Ezekiel 13:10. He is the chief opponent of the laws of divine establishment and seeks to break down freedom and sovereignty of any nation where establishment, evangelism, and Bible Christianity is functioning. Internationalism is satanic in any form. Globalism, one world government, religious internationalism, that's ecumenical religion. Ecumenical religion is really coming on the scene now because they all have watered down their doctrine to the point where they can all get together and agree. And we know one thing about ecumenical religion. In the tribulation period, all the kings and peoples and nations of the world will be committing adulteries with the great prostitute. Revelation 17. And what about ecumenical religion? Well, you will use the Antichrist, or the Antichrist will use ecumenical religion to gain worldwide power, and then the Antichrist will destroy ecumenical religion at the midway point, nuke ecumenical religion. But in Revelation 17, ecumenical religion will be the people that kill Christians in the first half of the tribulation. And we'll see that when we get a little further along. Internationalism is satanic then, and religious internationalism, ecumenical religion, political internationalism, the United Nations. Satan's policy is power politics, violence, tyranny, and change. He attacks both law enforcement and the military. He is anti-law enforcement, anti-military, pro-welfare state, pro-socialism, and against free enterprise. He attacks marriage and the family. He promotes same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism. He attacks the divine institutions. And religion is a major part of Satan's strategy. Religion is the invention of Satan. He's the greatest counterfeiter of all time. In Isaiah 14:14, he said, "I will make myself like the Most High God." He counterfeited the grace and truth of God through religion. Religion is the antithesis of grace and truth. Religion is man seeking to use his own merits, his own works, to gain the approbation of God. Satan's counterfeits of the plan of God and religion include counterfeit gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, counterfeit ministers, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, counterfeit doctrine, 1 Timothy 4:1, counterfeit communion table, 1 Corinthians 10:19-21, counterfeit spirituality, Galatians 3:2-3, counterfeit righteousness, Matthew 19:16-28, Matthew 23:13-36. This counterfeit righteousness is self-righteousness, human righteousness, based on man's human good works in the cosmic system. Counterfeit power and dynamics, counterfeit signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2:8-10. Counterfeit system of gods, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Religion is a major part of Satan's strategy. Religion is a vicious, vicious evil. False teachers are a major part of Satan's strategy. 1 John 4:1-3, 2 Peter, the entire chapter, chapter 2, Jude, verses 5-16. There's only one chapter, but most of Jude deals with false teachers. These false teachers have a phony, hypocritical facade. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7:15. They seek to stimulate your ego, characterized by smooth talk and flattery, Jude verse 16, Romans 16:17-18. They use human public relations systems and legalistic flirtation to court believers, Galatians 4:17-18. Satan has a specific strategy to trap believers in his cosmic system, 2 Timothy 2:25-26. Satan has a strategy regarding Israel. It's called anti-Semitism. All anti-Semitism is satanic to the core. If you know believers, or you are yourself anti-Semitic, you are totally a victim of Satan's strategies. The divine attitude toward anti-Semitism is given in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Anti-Semitism is hatred, intolerance, prejudice, opposition, persecution, and violent opposition to any Jew or the Jewish race. There is a correlation between the rise and fall of nations and their attitude toward the Jew. Individuals, nations, and empires have been destroyed throughout human history as a result of anti-Semitism. And on the other hand, individuals, nations, and empires have been blessed by kindly treatment of the Jews. That brings us to point 8 in our study, Know Your Enemy. Satan has a strategy for you, for the believer in Jesus Christ. A strategy that is intended to make you a casualty in the angelic conflict. So let's take a look at that. One, satanic strategy is to attack and discredit the Word of God. Satan will try to shut down any church where there is sound Bible teaching. He doesn't want the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute truth. He doesn't want the Word of God taught. He doesn't want the truth to get out. He doesn't want the truth about him, Satan, or his strategies communicated. And so satanic strategy is to attack and discredit the Word of God. And boy, is that going today. That's all over. If you teach the Word of God as absolute truth, if you teach the grace and truth of the Word of God today, well, you're the enemy. Yeah, that's what I told Doc, too. I said, I'm the enemy. But I said, you are too, Doc. You're the enemy, I'm the enemy. Two, satanic strategy is to discredit believers through involving them in the cosmic system, getting them into Christian degeneracy, and it might be moral degeneracy, human good and evil, or immoral degeneracy. Everybody is aware of immoral degeneracy, but as I read to you from Chafer's Systematic Theology, Volume 2, I love that guy. He totally understood that the greatest part of Satan's strategy is human good and evil. In fact, he says he thinks Satan's embarrassed about all the immoral things going on because he's not doing a good job ruling his world. Three, satanic strategy is to encourage rejection of truth, Bible doctrine, and to bypass and ignore consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Hath God said, as he was in the garden with the woman, they were in perfection. The Lord Jesus Christ created Adam from Adama, the dust of the ground. And then from Adam's rib, he formed the woman. And he had Bible class every single night in the cool of the evening. How great was that? Jesus Christ teaching Bible class every evening. But the woman was not paying attention. She was filing her nails while she was in Bible class. Adam was paying attention. He understood, but here was the woman. Are we about done? Okay. Are we getting close? And then the serpent. Notice the serpent didn't go to Adam. He was paying attention. The serpent went to Eve. She wasn't paying attention. And he says, hath God said? Hath God said? Well, we're not supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, he just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. Oh, really? And women have always had a problem with that. They want to be as smart as God is. And so, well, okay, I am pretty smart. I'll be smarter if I eat this. And it was not an apple. Poor damn apple's taking a lot of abuse. It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple tree. That's Greek mythology. Did you learn anything when you went to school? That's Greek mythology. Yeah, well, that's extra. You can go ahead and eat your apple. It's not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Four, satanic strategy is to hinder and distract believers from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. What are the spiritual skills? We're commanded, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit, living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. We're commanded, stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. So we're commanded, we're given mandates. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit of God. Keep on walking, living your life, the spiritual life, by the agency of the Spirit of God. Stop quenching the Spirit. Stop grieving the Spirit. We're commanded to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, and executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Those are the mandates. Five, Satan tries to distract believers in the following ways. One, through negative volition. Negative volition. What was the first sin of Adam? First sin in the garden, negative volition, disobedience. God said, everything I've created, all of these trees are available for you to eat from, but commandment, imperative, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat, dying spiritual death, you will die physical death. Adam knew the issue. The woman was deceived. She wasn't paying attention in Bible class. She was deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Disobedience to the mandate given to him by Jesus Christ. Negative volition. Two, through getting the believer out of fellowship so that there is no filling of the Spirit. Instead, you're grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. You have no power. The spiritual life only operates on divine power. It doesn't operate on human power. So Satan knows that. So he tries to distract the believer by getting the believer out of fellowship so there's no filling of the Spirit, no divine power. No divine power, no spiritual life. Three, through getting the believer involved in his cosmic system, entrapped in his cosmic system. And when you're entrapped in the cosmic system, you're involved in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. You're self-centered, you're emphasizing who and what you are, and you're antagonistic toward God and the Word of God and the communicator of it. Four, through the sin nature. Satan uses the sin nature as his inside agent to tempt the believer to sin and enter Satan's cosmic system. But all the sin nature can do is send temptations up to the gate of your soul. And your volition is the gate of your soul. You don't, temptation's not a sin. You don't rebound temptation. You have a volition. All you have to do is say no. You say no, you just keep on living the spiritual life. It's really quite simple. You say yes to the temptation. Now you made a volitional decision. Now the temptation is converted into sin and the old sin nature takes control of your soul and you're in the cosmic system. Five, he tries to make believers feel guilty and he accuses us. He is the great accuser. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Satan accuses us. Revelation 12:9-10. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, he accuses believers before our God day and night, has been hurled down." So he accuses us. However, 1 John 2:1-2 tells us we have an attorney, a defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he defends the believer. 1 John 2:1-2. 6. Satan sponsors reversionism and all principles related to Christian degeneracy. Satan sponsors reversionism and all principles related to Christian degeneracy. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul says, "But I am afraid," he's not afraid with the sin of fear, "I'm concerned lest, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ." 7. Satan sponsors fear of death to distract the believer from living the spiritual life. Satan sponsors fear of death. Now, if you're a winner believer, you should have absolutely no fear of death. You should be looking forward to it. You should be looking forward to it. It's dessert, for God's sake. You've eaten all the liver and cauliflower and everything. I don't know, maybe you like cauliflower and liver. My dad loved liver. There was something wrong with him. I hated liver. And my mother, when she cooked liver, she cooked the living crap out of it. I might as well have tried to eat my shoe. It was dry. A whole bottle of ketchup couldn't help it make it any better. I remember I went, I had a mouthful of liver, went to the bathroom, spit in the toilet and flushed it, and I came back. When I came back, I had the bigger piece of liver on my plate. My dad said, "You do that again, you will eat the whole plate." I didn't know you were omnipresent. And omniscient. But you see, the reason why fathers know that is they probably did it themselves. And now they have children doing the same thing. See? And he says, "You're going to eat that entire piece of liver," he says, "and I'm going to sit here and watch you. And I'll just smoke while you eat liver." And he did. He had to smoke 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes, but he... Hebrews 2. Don't get me wrong. I love my father very, very much. I don't know anybody that worked as hard as my dad did. He didn't want mom to work. He wanted mom to be with us kids. He wanted mom to be there because dad had to be out of town for all week to go where the work was. And he didn't want mom to work. He wanted her home to raise us. And I never knew anybody that worked as hard as my dad did. And it didn't make any difference if he felt good or he didn't feel good. If he didn't feel good, he went to work anyway. And when he made a promise, he kept it. And I remember one time there was a contest going on at school. If you caught the biggest fish, you won a prize at school. And I said, "Dad, would you take me and one of my school buddies fishing?" And he goes, "Yes, I will." Well, he got home and he was sicker than a dog. But he took us. He had to stop several times, go out, throw up, get back in, go away, get out, throw up, get in, go away. He did that, but he took us fishing. He was a very honorable person, believed in establishment truth, and later in life he believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that was the greatest thing of all. Hebrews 2, verse 14. "Since the children have flesh and blood, that is true humanity, he too, the Lord Jesus Christ, shared in their humanity, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." And many, many people have a fear of dying or death. But the winner believer doesn't. The winner believer does not have a fear of death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." How is the Lord with us? God the Father is holding one hand. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is holding the other hand. You have personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ. Of course you're not going to fear any evil. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So what? You walk through the valley of the shadow of death. On the other side, you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the dessert of life. It's greater than any blessing you'll have in time. All the greater grace blessings in time that the winner believers has, dying grace blessing is better than that. Better than that. It's dessert. It's chocolate pie, whipped cream, maraschino cherry. 8. He seeks to frustrate the will of God for your life. God has a plan and a will for your life. There's the mental will of God for your life, geographical will of God for your life, operational will of God for your life. And Satan seeks to frustrate God's will for your life. God has a will and a plan for your life. He seeks to frustrate the mental will of God for your life. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 2. "Stop being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, this cosmic system." So how do you do that? "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's what you do when you assemble here. Night after night after night, the renewing of your mind, the renovation of your thinking. "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, beyond what you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sound judgment in accordance with the measure of faith, the body of faith, Bible doctrine that God has given you. And then Ephesians 4. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Of course, this passage, Ephesians 4, deals with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was verse 11, He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, that's communicators in the pre-canon period of the church age, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor-teachers, communicators in the post-canon period of the church age. Why? What's the purpose of the gift of pastor-teacher? To prepare, to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Edification. You advance to spiritual maturity until we all reach unity in the faith and the epinosis knowledge of the Son of God and become mature believers, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, when you accomplish that, then we will no longer be infants, babies, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of false doctrine and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. He seeks to frustrate the will of God for your life, the mental will of God. He seeks to frustrate the geographical will of God for your life. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. First Thessalonians 2:18. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, wanted to come to you again and again. But Satan stopped us. He seeks to frustrate the geographical will of God for your life. He seeks to frustrate the operational will of God for your life. James 4. James 4. Verse 6, God goes to war with the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, that's genuine humility, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, that is, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advance to spiritual maturity, and He will come near to you. Greater grace blessings. Hope too. Wash your hands, rebound, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Reversion, recovery, you double-minded, daisukos. And then over in Galatians 5, turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 7 and 8. Paul is writing to believers. They place their faith in Jesus Christ. They started out in grace and truth. And then legalists, Judaizers came along, and they wound up rejecting grace and truth and believing the lie of legalism. The whole epistle of Galatians is dealing with legalism. And so Paul writes in verse 7, you were running a good race. See, he likes track and field. God likes track and field. Paul likes track and field. See, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who called you. That comes from Satan himself. 9. Satan tries to prevent you from consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. How? By getting you into fear or worry or anxiety. or mental attitude sins or reaction to what's going on in the nation, national crisis, national disaster, historical crisis and disaster. He tries to get you into fear, worry, anxiety. 1 Peter 5, 7-9. Turn over to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety, your worries, and there's more worries, fears, anxieties in America, in the world today, than has been around forever. Cast all your anxieties and fears and worries on Him, because He cares for you. Be self-controlled. Be on red alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. How do you do that? Put on the armor of God, standing firm by means of the body of faith, Bible doctrine. Because you know that your brothers, royal family throughout the world, are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Satan's going around like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. Satan tries to prevent you from consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine by, two, getting the believer to be disobedient to the Word. To be disobedient to the Word and the pastor's authority in teaching it. 1 Corinthians 4, 18-21. 1 Corinthians 4. And we're almost there. We're in chapter 2, so we're almost there. Verse 18, some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip? Oh, that's a good idea. By the way, I have a whip. A really nice whip. Shall I come to you with a whip? Or in love, virtue love, and with a gentle spirit. And he tries to get you to ignore Bible doctrine that you have learned in the past. David did this. This is one of David's failures. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 21. He tries to get you to ignore Bible doctrine that you've learned in the past. One thing I always remember about Mae Walker when I had dinner with her. She's, a lot of these people in this in Baraka, they complain about the colonel because he repeats and repeats and repeats. But he's not teaching us to remember it. He's teaching us so we'll never forget it. I said, yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. 1 Chronicles 21:1. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. David knows that you never get into the numbers game. He knew better. David failed to apply the doctrine of the faith rest life, the essence of God rationale. Instead of putting his faith and trust in God and the faith rest life, he put his trust in numbers. And he succumbed to the strategy of Satan. 10, Satan tries to destroy the believer's focus using both cosmic 1, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic 2, interlocking systems of hatred, to keep the believer from occupation with Jesus Christ. He causes you to get your eyes on yourself and feel sorry for yourself. He causes you to get your eyes on people. You flunk people testing, Jeremiah 17:5. He causes you to get your eyes on things, Hebrews 13:5 and 6. And that's getting to be a big thing now today, because you're going to the store and the things you want, you can't get. Some of you are going to, I know some are putting in a pool, but they can't put in the pool because they can't get the stuff to put in the pool. So you got a beautiful hole. You can jump in and get out and jump in and get out. No water. But you try, if you have a baby, you can't get baby formula. Well, turn over to Hebrews 13. Do you have your eyes on things and you're having a hard time getting things? Gas gone up again? Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content. Contentment is a part of sharing the happiness of God. Happiness is a spectrum. From tranquility to ecstatics. This is a part of plus H. And be content with what you have. Are you content with what you have? Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You see, the winner believer, the portion of the winner believer, the Lord is his portion. The Lord is the portion of the winner believer. He never is concerned. Money is not an issue. Whether you have a little or whether you have a lot, whether you have nothing, it's a non-issue for the winner believer. 11, Satan sponsors Christian activism, trying to get the believer to improve his world. The devil wants you to improve his world. So you become preoccupied with temporal solutions such as environmentalism, socialism, social action, social gospel, welfare state, trying to improve the devil's world. 12. We are commanded in Ephesians 4:27, stop giving opportunity to the devil. Stop giving opportunity to the devil. And we give opportunity to the devil in two ways. Failing to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and living a life in Satan's cosmic system. And then 9, Satan has a strategy concerning the unbeliever as well. He has a strategy concerning the unbeliever. First of all, he blinds the unbeliever's mind to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4. And we'll be there before long. I know you don't believe me, but we will. 2 Corinthians 4. He blinds the unbeliever's mind to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, and even if our gospel, the grace gospel, is veiled, and it is veiled, by who? By Satan. How? By religion. By counterfeiting the gospel with works, salvation by works. And if our gospel, the grace gospel, is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Two, he motivates every form of unbeliever reversionism. He motivates every form of unbeliever reversionism. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Romans 1:24, because of this, God handed them over, he delivered them over to judgment, to sexual perversion, because of the lusts of their hearts, with the result that they degraded their bodies among themselves, who indeed by their very nature, they exchanged the truth of God, the grace gospel, for the lie of Satan. And they worshiped and served the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of praise and glorification to all eternity. Amen. Because of this, the exchange of the truth of God, the grace gospel, for the lie of Satan. The God, the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered them over to judgment, to dishonorable passions. For indeed, their women exchanged normal sexual relations for that which is against the normal order. And in the same way, the males also abandoned the normal sexual relations with the female, and became inflamed with sexual desire in their lust toward one another. That is, homosexual males with homosexual males, committing the perverted act and receiving back in themselves the due penalty of their perversion, that judgment which is inevitable. Verse 28. And since in full knowledge of the gospel, they rejected it after careful examination, with the result that they do not have and possess the God. They have no personal relationship with God. God delivered them over to a worthless mind, doing evil things which are improper. They have become filled with every category of unrighteousness, with every category of evil, with every category of inordinate devices, with every category of depravity, full of jealousy, full of murder, full of strife, full of deceit, full of malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, violent, insolent ones, arrogant, boastful, devisers of evil things, disobedient to parents. They are senseless ones, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, in spite of the fact that they completely know and understand the righteous decree of God, that is, the repercussions of saying no to the gospel, that the ones who practice such evil things keep on being deserving of death. Sin unto death and eternal condemnation and judgment. Not only are they habitually doing the same things, but they also give their approval to those who practice them. So he motivates every form of unbeliever reversionism. Three, he takes the gospel away from their heart so that they may not believe. He takes the gospel away from their heart so they may not believe. Turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. Luke chapter 8, verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. This is the part that relates to his strategy against unbelievers. Look down now at verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God, the gospel. Those along the path are the ones who hear, unbelievers, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And then four, he deceives the unbeliever through religion. He deceives the unbeliever through religion. Colossians 2:8, Revelation 17, 1 through 6. And that's the great ecumenical religion that will deceive the whole world in the tribulation. Satan uses religion to blind the mind of the unbeliever to the grace gospel. And whenever the unbeliever rejects the truth of the grace gospel, he will believe the lie and fall into the devil's trap. Satan's strategies. Know your enemy. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.